must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest of a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said to him, This day salvation has come to this house, for as much as he is also a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save those who are lost. And we're going to just change tack a little bit and read some verses out of Luke chapter 24. And behold, two of them were travelling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked together of all the things which had happened. So it was, while they conversed and reasoned, that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were restrained, so that they did not know him. And then there's quite a few verses after that telling about the Emmaus story and the men on the road to Emmaus. Jesus asked them when he joined them, What are you discussing? And they said, Are you a stranger around this place? Don't you know the things that have been happening in Jerusalem? Jesus was crucified, and we had hoped that he was going to be the one who was going to redeem Israel. And as Jesus talked to them, he told them all about the prophets and the prophecy about Jesus coming and dying and rising again. And the guys on the road to Emmaus said, and look, you know, the women have been there this morning and said that he's risen, he's not here anymore. And they were quite amazed at that. And Jesus said, How foolish are you not to understand the things that are in the Bible and the scriptures? And as they got to their house near Emmaus, they said to Jesus, Abide with us, for it is towards evening, for the day is far spent. And he went in to stay with them. And when he went in to stay with them, he took bread and gave thanks, and their eyes were opened. They realised it was Jesus. And they said to each other, Wasn't our hearts burning inside us when he was talking to us on the road? And all of a sudden, Jesus left them. And they thought, We've got to go and tell the disciples and the other people who had seen Jesus rise from the, knew that Jesus had risen. And they went back to Jerusalem and they said, It's true. The Lord has risen. Wow, what an experience for those two men. And what an experience for Zacchaeus. Jesus said, I'm coming to your place. Whoa. I'm coming to abide with you. I must stay at your place, other versions say. How would we be if we were living in Jesus' time? And Jesus said, I'm coming to your place. Wow. Zacchaeus had heard that Jesus was coming to town and he wanted to see who Jesus was. And in our reading, we read, he ran and climbed up a sycamore tree. I don't think he would have had much time to clean up his house, and he wouldn't have been expecting anyone to come home with him. We've got a friend coming this afternoon for a week or so, and of course, you know, there's been activity cleaning the house up and making sure things are in the right place, and that's what we do, don't we? We like to have things in order, we like to have things sort of organised, and even, you know, when Christmas comes, you like to have the lawns done and everything sort of spick and span because of people coming. But Zacchaeus didn't know that Jesus was coming, but Jesus said, I want to come and abide in your house. I'm coming to your place to stay. And the two on the road to Emmaus, one was named Cleophas, and we don't know the name of the other follower of Jesus. They'd been in Jerusalem for at least a few days, possibly for a week or so. They may have been there when Jesus came into town on the donkey, and we know that story. And then they were no doubt there while Jesus' body was in the tomb. And they must have brought some food supplies with them because they had some sort of food. But no doubt they would have been pretty tired when they got home. And who wants anyone to stay when you're tired and you've been away and, you know, sort of you just want to get in your lounge chair and, you know, relax. But they asked Jesus to stay. They'd been walking about 11 kilometres and without hesitation they invited Jesus in to abide with them, to stay with them. I don't know how we'd be, you know, inviting someone in for dinner. They obviously had some supplies because they were prepared for that. But, you know, Jesus wants to abide with us. He wants to stay with us. It doesn't matter if our house or our lives are in chaos. We've always got things going on in our lives, haven't we? There's different things happening. But Jesus, like he did to the men on the road to Emmaus, Jesus said, I want to come. And Zacchaeus, I want to come and stay with you. Jesus said to Zacchaeus, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save those who are lost. And of course, that was the primary reason for Jesus coming to the earth, to die on the cross and to save us. Well, where did Jesus stay when he was on the earth? Well, we don't really get many clues in the Bible about that. Essentially, he had no fixed abode, from what I can understand. The abode motels are sort of great, aren't they? John and I think Val have stayed at abode hotels, but Jesus had no fixed abode. When Jesus left Nazareth at the beginning of his ministry, he lived at a place called Capernaum, and he often stayed at Peter's house in Capernaum. Capernaum was a small fishing village beside the Sea of Galilee. And Capernaum was about 150 kilometres from Jerusalem, so it was quite a distance. Jesus often stayed in Bethany, and he stayed, we've got records of in the Bible about Jesus staying with Mary and Martha and Lazarus in Bethany, and also a person by the name Simon the leper, and possibly one of the lepers that Jesus healed. Bethany was pretty close to Jerusalem, about 5 kilometres away. And we know that Jesus stayed in the wilderness. He stayed in the wilderness. We know that he slept in a boat one time, and he was often in boats, but the time that the storm blew up, Jesus was asleep in the boat. And we know that on occasions Jesus slept at the Mount of Olives. And he may have stayed in various motels. There was inns around the place because we know that there was no place in the inn when Jesus was born. And Jesus also taught a parable about the Good Samaritan, and the Good Samaritan forked out some money for the person that had been bashed up on the side of the road in an inn. So there were inns, and possibly Jesus may have stayed in inns from time to time, but there's no sort of evidence in the Bible about that. We know that Jesus went to a solitary place by himself, and there's at least one or two records around that. And he went up into the mountain also by himself. But Jesus essentially was of no fixed abode. And in Matthew chapter 8, verse 20, it tells us that Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. That the foxes have holes to live in and the birds of the air have nests to live in, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Acts chapter 17, verse 24 says, he does not dwell in temples made with hands. Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, wants to dwell in us. He wants to stay with us. He wants us to follow him, and he wants to abide in us. And in John chapter 15, we have about the true vine. We'll read a few verses out of there. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, Neither can you unless you abide in me. And so various versions use the word abide, and some say dwell, remain, or stay. And so we can use all those different terminologies as we're thinking about today's message. But Jesus said, abide in me and I in you. And you can't bear any fruit unless you abide in me, Jesus said. I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out, a branch is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. We can see quite clearly in verse 5, he who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. And on to verse 7 to 9, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. And so God's word is so important that we are told here to have his word in our heart. And if his words abide in us, we can ask what we desire and will be done to glorify God, bearing much fruit. As the Father loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. And so what's the fruit that's been talked about here? It's the fruit of the Spirit. And we find the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5. And we often can recite a few of those. Perhaps we might not get to all the nine. But the first one is love. The fruit of the Spirit is love, and we've been talking about love already today. Second one is joy. We like to be joyous. We like to be happy. We like to have inner joy. The Bible says the joy of the Lord is my strength. But sometimes it's hard, isn't it, in everyday life. We have sadness. We have troubles. We have trials and tribulations. But we're told here that one of the fruits of the Spirit is joy. And peace. Wouldn't it be wonderful to have world peace? We can have inner peace, knowing that we belong to Jesus and that we can share that peace to others. Patience. Patience is always a challenging one, isn't it? Other versions talk about, say, long-suffering or forbearance. And the next one is gentleness or kindness. Goodness. The seventh one is faith or faithfulness. The next one is meekness. And so what's meekness? Gentleness is another version. Or humility, I thought that was an interesting one as well, that meekness. And the last one, self-control. Wow. Isn't that a challenge for everyone? But you know, the fruits of the Spirit, there is no law. There is absolutely no, we can have as much of these fruits of the Spirit as we possibly can, because there is no law for the fruit of the Spirit. And we can have abundance of fruit of the Spirit. We can have much fruit. We're no longer under the law. And some commentators talk about that nine in the Bible is for completeness. And so if we've got the fruits of the Spirit, the nine fruits of the Spirit, we are complete. Abide in me and I in you, and you will bear much fruit. You know, I tried to grow some pumpkins last year. My pumpkin vine looked great. It was a butternut pumpkin. My biggest butternut pumpkin was about that big. My smallest one was about that big. I had 12. And sort of like the 12 sort of weighed about the size of, you know, maybe, you know, a big pumpkin you'd buy from the shop. And so whilst I had fruit, they weren't really great. And it was a bit hard to find them, actually, because there was more leaves than fruit. And the sort of grass grows up around a pumpkin vine a bit, and had to sort of forage and try and find them. And you know, I've also got an ornamental grapevine at home, and they look fantastic. And the spring, the leaves come out and everything, and it forms a little grapevine, a little grape cluster. And it's probably about maybe about that big. And there's little tiny grapes, and they actually burst out then into a flower. And so I also then thought that that's not bearing any fruit. And I know it's not designed to bear fruit, but it just got me thinking that sometimes that the fruit that we have, the love or the self-control or our patience, is like, can be pretty small, you know, a bit like my butternut pumpkin. And whilst there was a few on the vine, they tasted okay, but there was a lot of work just to get a bit of pumpkin. In John chapter 15, also in verse 10 and 11, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. Abide in my love and keep my commandments. And as Jill read this morning, the first and greatest commandment is love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And the second greatest commandment is love your neighbour as yourself. That my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. The joy of the Lord is our strength. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, than to lay down his life for his friends. There's a verse in John chapter 6 that says, I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And Philippians chapter 2, God made himself, Jesus made himself nothing, taking on the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. He humbled himself to become obedient to death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him the highest place and given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. There was a song that sort of sprang to my mind when I was preparing the message. It says, I will sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me, how he left his home in glory for the cross of Calvary. Jesus abides in us through his Holy Spirit. And we've got some verses in John, 1 John and Romans and Timothy. He abides in us by his Spirit he has given us. His Spirit dwells in you. The Holy Spirit dwells in us. And 1 John chapter 4 says, no one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us his Spirit. First John chapter 4 also says, and we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son as Saviour of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is God, Son of God, God abides in him and he in us. And so as Christine was telling us about, telling family, sometimes it's hard to tell family, sometimes it's hard to tell others about Jesus. But if we confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in us. And 1 John chapter 4 says, and we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. And so we've got lots of verses in the Bible talking about love, and of course that's the first fruit of the Spirit. Love is the first fruit of the Spirit. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And of course, faith was another fruit of the Spirit, that you're being rooted and grounded in love. And Colossians tells us that the word of Christ dwell in you richly with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing grace in your hearts to the Lord. The word of Christ dwell in you. The word of Christ abide in you. The word of Christ remain in you. Psalm chapter 146 tells us that the Lord remains faithful forever. And we know in John chapter 14 that Jesus is going to prepare a place for us, that we can dwell in that place. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, and I'm going to prepare a place for you, because that's where he is, and he wants us to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And of course, Psalm 23 ends up with those words, doesn't it? Dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Psalm 91, a challenge to us in our daily walk. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Isn't that just wonderful that we can abide under his shadow? That he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I will trust. So just a few words about abiding today. There's a couple of take-home messages, and one of these might be for you. Jesus said to Zacchaeus, the Son of Man is come to seek and to save those who are lost. If you don't know Jesus, Jesus wants to abide in your house. He wants to abide in your life. Jesus said to Zacchaeus, I must abide at your house today. Jesus wants to live in your life. He wants to abide. He wants to dwell in your heart. It doesn't matter whether your life is a schmozzle. Jesus will come. He doesn't care about the schmozzle, because he is the one who will make things good and calm your life and give you the fruits of the Spirit. Cleophas and his friend, after their eyes were opened, they realized, their second take-home message, after their eyes were opened, they realized it was Jesus. And they went back to Jerusalem saying, the Lord is risen. We sang earlier in our service, I serve a risen Saviour. He's in the world today. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. The Holy Spirit lives in my heart as we abide in Jesus, because Jesus is alive. Jesus has risen. And the third take-home message is Jesus said, abide in me and I in you. How is your fruit bearing going? Are you bearing much fruit? Lots of love? Small pumpkins? Ornamental grape? How's your joy going? How's your peace? How's your patience? By your fruit, we'll show others that we belong to Jesus. How's our gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and self-control? By this shall all men know that we are his disciples, if we have love for another and love our neighbour as ourselves. So I hope there's a take-home message for you in that today. Jesus wants to come and abide with us. He wants us to abide in him. He wants us to bear much fruit. But we have to be willing. We have to work on these things, don't we? That fruit doesn't come just automatically. We all have struggles in our life. We all have blind spots. Out of those nine things, well, there's probably seven or eight that we struggle with. And so, or nine. And So we need to work on that, don't we? We need to cultivate. We need to be in Jesus. And we need, he wants to us to abide in him as he abides in us.